Little bit of tidbits. Little bit of tidbits. So many tidbits. You're listening to Tidbits. Thank you for doing that. I'm your host, Etchy. This is episode 129. This is a completely uncut episode. It's been about 3 months since we've had an episode, and a lot has happened between then. Many of you know I had to go to the hospital. Even though I've been out of the hospital for about a month, I'm extremely tired and anemic. I'm getting an iron infusion sometime early next month. And I had to kind of relearn a few things after the stroke. But this is basically me telling the story and Leslie filling in a lot of the blanks. And I do have a lot of blanks.
Yeah. Well, usually, you know, a lot of times when I wake up, I'm a zombie. I'm like extremely tired.
Right.
Yeah. So I didn't think anything of it because I had to wake up early for my psychologist's appointment.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh no, I'm just more tired than usual. And she called, so I answered and I started talking to her, and she asked me a question, and I could tell it was English.
Right, because that's how she always talks to you?
Yeah, she generally talks to me in English.
I think that's her primary only language, really. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if she knows any other languages. But anyway, by the way, we're recording in the bedroom, so we can lay down on the bed.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
I'm just picturing, like, the Peanuts or Charlie Brown with the teachers, like, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I didn't understand a word of what she was saying. I kept saying, what? And she's like, you can't hear me? And I'm like, I can't understand you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's happening. And so,
like in a fog?
Yeah. And so she's like, okay, what did you just wait? You know, I'm like, I just woke up. She's like, okay. So then she started asking me, she asked me another question and I had no idea what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And she would ask me a question and I would just sit there and be like, cause I'm trying to decipher what I just heard and I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it's gotta be a weird feeling.
It is.
And you don't even know what you're feeling at that moment.
Yeah, exactly. And, the one thing I didn't understand, though, is she's like, I'm going to call your parents. And I was literally like, okay, because I wanted to go back to bed.
You're like, good, this is over now.
Yeah. It was kind of torturous.
Mm-hmm.
I hung up and laid down on the couch because that's where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I hear the door unlock, and I thought it was you,
because
I forgot about the parents thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so my parents come in, and I was like, oh, hey, great. I want to sleep. Mm-hmm. That was all I could think of doing. It was just like, great. What are they coming over to visit? I want to go to sleep.
Right.
And they
weren't going to go to sleep for a while.
No. No. And they were like talking to me, and again I was just like, I don't know what you're saying. And they were like, okay, well, we're going to the hospital. I understood that part. It was a short sentence and it had the word hospital in it.
And you've been there.
Yeah, many times. And
but this was not like those times. This is like, we didn't know. We just thought you were, like, dehydrated or something.
Yeah. Well, they got me into the car. I somehow got dressed. I don't know.
That part, is a little hazy to me also.
Yeah. And so I went to the hospital. You met up with us at the hospital, right?
No.
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 You were there.
I drove you.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, and you usually wear your clothes when you talk to your therapist.
Yeah.
So, because it's video call kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's probably already dressed.
And she doesn't want to see you without your clothes on.
No.
So, you generally get dressed before that call. So, you were prepared for that, and that's how you got dressed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, then, I went to the hospital, and, we were all, like, we got right in. I'm used to, you know, you go to the emergency room and you're going to wait there for like 5 hours.
There was nobody else in the room.
No, nobody. And so they got us a room right away. The thing I was amazed by, because I hadn't been to the hospital in a long time,
mm-hmm.
at least not for like a reason of accidentally hurting myself or,
right.
You know, I don't think I've ever gone for something like pneumonia. I had never up to this point had pneumonia.
Right. Thankfully, it wasn't another broken clavicle, but I would have traded that.
Yeah. Definitely.
That would have really impacted the situation.
Yeah. You know, if you, just quick fact here, if something were to slam on your collarbone so that when it broke down, there's a bundle of nerves underneath there that if it hits them, even just a little bit, your arm will not work anymore.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of important stuff in that that highway of your body.
They really stuff you.
Yeah.
They the mean God or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, and so, you know, I remember, you know, doing some tests and whatnot. Oh, yeah. The thing I was impressed by, though, is when they did the x-ray.
Hmm.
That they were just like, oh, we're going to do an x-ray. And I was like, okay, we're going to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go anywhere. They pulled the whole machine in there.
I remember being a young kid and having an x-ray, and you had to go to a separate room.
It's an entire room, yeah.
Now they just have a woman just like, can you guys please step out of the room? And then they put this thing on you and did the thing and wheeled this gigantic machine that is just for that.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
It's very impressive. It was also good because I didn't want to move. And
you weren't.
No. I don't know if that's special or not for people that can't move.
No.
Okay. So anyway, but the big thing that I remember, though, is that while we were waiting there, you know, they had hooked up all those things to me. And, you know, the little
node
sensors.
Things.
Yeah, for the, I can't remember what they're called now, though, but.
The contact things.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, and they hooked it up for heart monitor, you know, all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, I just got this huge panic.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know what it was.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I jumped up and ripped off all the things and started screaming something like, it's never going to stop.
You were upset.
Yeah. I think I thought my penis was inside my body.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That seems uncomfortable and terrifying, and, you clearly didn't feel well.
Yeah, I'm like, what if my body swallows it? And I started to freak out.
Well, that's a terrifying thought.
Yeah.
I don't have a penis, but I can empathize.
Just picture your arm going into your shoulder.
I'm glad it didn't hit that nerve under your clavicle.
So, yeah, so that's why I'm on Klonopin now, because they're like, no, it's true. If that hadn't happened, that's why they prescribed it to me, because they're like, he's having panic attacks, even though it was just one. I haven't, and I don't think I had a panic attack after that.
Mm-hmm.
From there, I don't really remember. I mean, I remember being wheeled to other rooms.
Right.
For different reasons.
You shouldn't remember much.
No. But I remember I was with my mom. We were brought into this room where it was like ultrasound of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Like
a CT. They know they did a CT scan.
They did a CT scan, yeah. And, which usually that really bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that's where they put you in that
I believe tunnel, so. I've right? never had one, but I believe it's the one where if you have any kind of, what do you call that? Claustrophobia.
Yeah.
Then that's very difficult for people to go to that machine.
Yeah, and you know what? The funniest thing was I've had that done before, and I couldn't do it. Mm. And so like we had to come back the next day, and they gave me liquid Xanax or liquid something, some liquid anti-anxiety that's basically concentrated, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to do it, but. This dude, he just goes, here, I'm going to put a cloth over your face.
Oh.
That was it. That was all I needed because you couldn't see that you're in this thing.
Wow, he's good at what he does.
Yeah. All it was, I mean, you know, it was like, wow, a dish towel, really?
Wow. Hey, man, and your eyes take in a lot and it makes your brain think things.
Yeah. Yeah,
your brain was thinking. Your brain was thinking all kinds of stuff that day.
Yeah, and you know, I had like the earmuffs on, along with, like they blare the music.
Oh, I didn't know they had music in there.
Yeah, yeah, and
I wasn't there for that part.
And they ask you what you want. I was alone for this part. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, we have YouTube. And I was like, so I'm gonna have to listen to ads. And he goes, you know, no. We subscribe to it so that there's no ads. I'm like,
well, that's helpful.
Yeah, yeah. So he's like, what do you want to hear? And I was like, play Radiohead.
Nice.
Because I fall asleep to Radiohead all the time. I love it.
You do.
Yeah. Although I said play OK Computer, and it just shuffled songs from different albums. But you know, whatever.
That's fine. Whatever. Yeah, you weren't. That was not your. That was the biggest discomfort. Of the whole thing.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, so I was able to get through that. That's the last thing I think I remember from all those tests and stuff.
Okay. That would check out.
Yeah. So from there, I went into the ICU. Did they put me under right away?
No. I mean, I can tell you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So... where do you mean to start going back from? That just that detail, or should we go back to what you've explained so far?
Whenever you went into the ICU.
Okay.
And saw me.
So we brought you in to downstairs when you first checked into the hospital. We got you a wheelchair, and they took you in, and you were answering questions. And, you know, you at that point, you were down for the help. Like, you were not feeling well. You had not been drinking water the last... day before, and I was just like, you need to drink water, and it's very unlike you to not drink water.
Oh, I drink a ton.
So then I was just like, well, something's wrong. He's like too dehydrated. And so I was going to a meeting, and then your parents are calling me during my meeting.
Yeah.
To ask what to put on your birthday cake.
Really?
Yeah, they were like, should we put Steve Etchy Steven? And I was like, because this was the May 3rd. This was 2 days before your birthday.
Yeah.
So I was like, I think Etchy or whatever you feel.
Yeah, because first and last name, like, happy birthday, Steve Etchy, is kind of weird coming from a cake from my parents.
Well, they were trying to make you happy, you know?
Yeah.
That's what they do. But when I left for my meeting, I said to you, I was just like, I mean, I wouldn't have left you if I thought you were, you know, having that much of an issue.
Yeah, you didn't think it was a big thing at the time.
Because I was like, do you want me to get McDonald's on the way back? And you're like, yeah, just call me. Mm-hmm. And you had gotten dressed for Dr. G. I'm sorry, your therapist. Mm-hmm. And then you wanted to, you didn't, I called you and you're like, my parents are here. They think I should go to the hospital. Dr. D said, I think I should go to the hospital. Everybody thinks I should go. And I'm like, oh, well, that's... change.
That's different.
Change of plans.
Yeah. I thought you were tired.
And I was like, well, can you please wait for me? Because, you know, I wanted to be there for that. So I wasn't far away. I was about 10 minutes away. So I got back. Your mom rode with me in the front seat. You rode in the back seat to the hospital. We got you there. You were able to answer the questions. When they put those contacts on you, I remember you being very, like, collected. And you're like, oh, wow, they're not as cold as I thought. They're kind of warm. Like,
yeah.
But I was just like, that was his demeanor going into this. And then once those things were on you and you tried to sit up in the bed, you got your hand on those wires and it pulled them out. And you didn't understand at that point. You were you were so upset by that, and you panicked. And then they gave you Ativan.
Yeah. That's right. It was Ativan. You know what? It's funny, too, because there's a detail that I remember that I don't think you guys realize, because I was internalizing. I knew that sounded wrong. most of it. But you know how you get frustrated when your sheets are like folded over and it's uncomfortable, and you're like, and after a while you get frustrated that you start kicking the sheets.
Yeah, yeah, and these are like those weird thick hospital.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, mm-hmm. And that's what got me to be like, you know.
Yeah, that was just like the point of too much.
Yeah, and that's when I ripped off my things.
And that's when they said, okay, well, we're going to help him with the panic problem. Like, and then the doctor came in, not right, the one that came in, he came in at the right time because you had just had that happen. And he was asking questions about what's going on. And as soon as he heard that you had bipolar and you took lithium.
Yeah.
You could tell he was just like, okay, all right. And you know, doctors don't do anything to raise alarm, but you could just tell that as soon as that detail was uncovered, that was pressed on.
Yeah.
We just didn't have all the answers. Like, I brought you McDonald's while you were in there, and you ate your fries, you ate like half of your hamburger, and you drank your Coke, and then you had not been drinking water, so they couldn't get a urine sample from you.
Well, and also I was surprised by, I was a good bit more lucid in that first room that we were in than when I was at home. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It was before the Ativan.
I think you were getting help, but it was kind of in waves. Like I said, when I left, you were like, okay, just call me. And then you were not able to process words when you talked to your doctor. Mm-hmm. So I think you had waves where you were okay and then not, mm-hmm. But you know, one of the main concerns that I've seen in case studies and such of recent since the pandemic started, lithium can really, really act terribly to kidneys if you take lithium and you get COVID.
Yeah, because it's bad for your kidneys anyway.
It's bad for your kidneys anyway, but COVID could do real severe problems to your kidneys, and you didn't have COVID. So, yeah. Like, you know, we didn't think kidneys until we were pretty much told that your kidney function was so low. But,
yeah.
I'm glad they did all those tests on you. But as soon as they heard you were on lithium, mm-hmm. The doctors, you could just see, like, everybody was just, like, clicked into gear.
Yeah. They really went for, they're like, okay, we have a plan now.
But you were able to sleep after they gave you the Ativan. That did not take long. And then it was getting late in the evening at that point, and I left and your mom stayed, and I would have stayed, but it's a small room. I didn't know what was next. Mm-hmm. And your mom's really good at that job.
She is. She's very good at that job.
And if you wanted me to be there, I would have.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a long day for everybody.
And I was asleep. I mean,
and you were asleep, and we just didn't know you hadn't been admitted to a room yet, but you were definitely not going home that day.
No.
But we didn't know until we knew more. The next day, we learned more.
Was I awake for the next day?
No.
Okay.
Well, you would wake up, but they had to put you in dialysis, so they had to put you under to put your dialysis port in.
Yeah, which is a whole surgery, isn't it?
Basically.
Yeah.
And then you were, when, the way I explained it when it for like during your birthday party that you didn't get to go to, I explained it as you had. You weren't fighting the illness, you were fighting the process. Mm-hmm. Because your panic reaction was ripping out your stuff, and we couldn't have you rip out your port for your dialysis, which is temporary. You only had how many rounds, do you know?
Three
rounds. So you only had a few rounds of dialysis, so they were able to take that out, thankfully. Yeah.
I don't know what that means, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like you know how they say, like, you know, when you have a kidney problem where you need dialysis, and you know they go, oh yeah, I go in for dialysis for like 2 hours or something.
Right.
I don't know how many rounds that is. Like, I don't know if three is a lot.
I'm not familiar with that either.
Yeah.
But I do know that those people generally have terminal or not chronic kidney failure.
Yeah.
Yours was it. We didn't know anything, really, but yours was as a result of the medication toxicity.
Yeah, I think those people are usually on the list for a new kidney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so
or they've had some kind of kidney cancer. There's all kinds of reasons that your kidneys could not work.
So when they put me under, was that for the rest of the time that, like, that was the point at when I went under?
Well, they, you know, I think they try to not keep people under if they can help it. But with you, you were not taking... Okay, first and foremost, your vape was in my purse for the entire time. Mm-hmm. So you were going through nicotine withdrawals. You're going to vape for that now?
Yeah, I'm doing the sound effects.
So your body was going through that. They didn't give you the meds that you would normally take at night because, hey, you were also having lithium toxicity. So yeah. Without your meds...
And then they didn't give me any of my meds.
Not for, I think, 2 days.
Yeah.
But you would have had a bad day no matter what.
Yeah, I was going to say, even the nicotine withdrawal is nothing compared to the medication withdrawal.
Right.
That's just major.
So that, for me, was the scariest part. And I didn't get to see you from that time. So then you know, there was a night that you were just... They tried to keep you awake, but you don't think you remember any of it. And I wasn't in the room for that. But there was a nurse that apparently was just like, he needs to be in ICU. Mm-hmm. So they put you in ICU, and, you know, that kidney, what was your kidney function?
8%.
That's what you had when you went in.
Yeah.
And they had to clear that toxicity, and that's what the dialysis was for, is just to clear out your kidneys.
Yeah.
Then you had... There was infections after that, and then you got pneumonia. ICU was basically like, it was such a crazy operation to see all that going on. Like, there were so many tubes, so many wires, so many things that they had to do. You had things spiking, you had calcium increase, you had this increase, you had that. That each thing they had to treat. And it was like a magical thing to watch, having all of those machines with the wires and going into different places, and they were all doing different things. And then one of them would make your blood pressure go up, and then they'd have to get that. And then it was kind of amazing.
Yeah. Especially when there's like multiple people.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they all are like nice and calm, and they all are telling you their name immediately and giving you an update as much as they can. And, you know, it's a stressful environment, the ICU, because if you show up, you learn what time to show up at the ICU to visit.
Yeah.
Monday morning is pretty freaking busy.
I'm sure.
I went in one Monday morning, and you know, to see you, you had to put on the gown and wear a mask and gloves and all of that. It was kind of a thing. And I didn't know where to find those things, but it was Monday morning, and there was a person having a real hard time in there, and all of the nurses were trying to help another patient that was having, like, all of the machines, and you could see, like, there's 10 ICU nurses piled around in one person's room. And I was just like, this feels like I'm in the way. I shouldn't be here. But it was... you know, you were just out for the majority of it. And then when they were trying to pull you out, because it's tedious. You have to make sure. Thankfully, they are able to bring most of those machines to you as opposed to wheeling you out to a different section of the hospital.
Which still amazes me.
The MRI that you would have to have is not on the same floor or the same area as the ICU. So
no.
They couldn't give you an MRI until your body, you were fighting just so many infections.
Yeah.
And you were on so many antibiotics, it was scary that you were in that environment because you could just pick up more infections.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, also, yeah, on my birthday, I was intubated.
You were. That made me cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, because intubation, if you're not familiar with what that is, it's basically you can't do things on your own. You can't eat, you can't swallow, you can't, it's too hazardous or for whatever reason, and they have to basically shove a tube down your throat, which hurts, and it causes,
it causes inflammation in the throat.
Tons of that, yeah.
It also messes with your vocal cords, so you can't talk very well. Because, I mean, you know, that tube is sliding right by your vocal cords, and it's touching them, and, you know, vocal cords are not supposed to be touched.
Do you know how many episodes of Tidbits I listened to back while you were sleeping? Because I just wanted to hear your voice.
Oh.
But then it was like a gift.
Yeah.
Hearing back all the episodes, especially like with me on the show, but also the ones that I wasn't on.
Yeah. Did you see the happy birthday balloons in my room?
Yes.
The nurses did that.
I heard. That made me cry, too.
Yeah. Yeah. The nurses actually went down to the gift shop, which is weird because I was like, I don't know. I just assumed all the balloons would be get better soon.
That's a funny joke, Etchy.
But apparently they have happy birthday.
People go to the hospital on their birthday.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, but...
Can you imagine, like, a little kid, like a 9-year-old, breaking their arm, and then, like, on their 9th birthday, and then they get a balloon? Like, that would make them feel better.
Yeah. I think the balloons deflated and were gone by the time I woke up.
They did.
Yeah,
but... the effort was there. They sang to you.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I didn't remember that part.
Well, I think they did. Let's just say they did.
Yeah. Knowing that, like, honestly, this was Advent... they're incredible. They really do take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a couple times where I needed help and couldn't get it, but that's because I was so out of it. I didn't know how to push the button to alert anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem was not my heart escalating or anything, so nothing went off.
Mm-hmm.
I actually just had to go to the bathroom really, really bad.
Well, that's their problem if they don't even...
And it was their problem. Which I think is when I got E. coli.
Yet another infection.
Yeah. But it was amazing. You know, I went through dialysis, I went through pneumonia, and I went through E. coli.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 mini strokes.
Right.
All while I was asleep. So when I woke up, I did not have pneumonia or E. coli or anything. I had recovered from it while in a coma.
And I remember seeing this thing on your leg that I thought was like, that doesn't look right. But it was a blood clot.
I had a big old fat leg.
You did have a big blood clot on your leg before you went in, and then you came out with a big old fat leg. When your dad keeps reminding you how fat your leg is, it's just like, do you realize these words hurt?
Yeah, my dad tends to do that. Like, just the other day, I was visiting them, and I came out of the bathroom. And, you know, I take a long time in the bathroom, but that's because I'm, like, also on my phone, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's like a break.
Yeah, exactly. I came out of the bathroom, and he just goes, are you okay? It's just like, you don't say that to somebody. Stop it.
I mean, I say it to you all the time.
Yeah, but you're kidding.
Well, I mean, if you're not okay.
Well, yeah.
Anyone would like to know.
I suppose so.
You know, the thing that kind of irked me the most was how many people told me that they hate your vaping. There are so many people that are like, is he going to stop vaping? And I'm like, I would trade him vaping forever if I could keep him, you know?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it was just funny, and it irked me how many people thought it was, like, appropriate to talk about that.
Yeah, that was a great time for that discussion. In fact, I'm still a little bit spotty, actually, from the strokes.
Well, tell them about what happened.
And a lot of it is, names,
mm-hmm.
even of people I've known for years. I just...
You've always been like that.
I blank. Yeah, but it's... Before, it was on the tip of my tongue. Now, it's just not there.
I mean, if we could remember everybody that we enjoy at the Pinball Lounge, like, it's hard to remember everybody's names.
That's true.
But it doesn't... I feel like I'm constantly disappointing people.
Yeah.
The other day, I made a joke about somebody's name, and I don't think it was their name.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
I keep getting the name Marla Maples in my head, but I know that's not it because that was Trump's second wife.
That's true.
Ooh, excuse me.
That's true. Okay, so you had the blood clot and...
The fat leg.
But the blood clot, it dispersed.
Yeah.
And instead of going, like, I guess if a blood clot travels through your body, it goes through your heart... or it should go through your, you know, hit your lungs.
It goes to your lungs, yeah.
But instead it went to your heart, and then that made it go to your brain.
Yeah, and that's where the strokes came from.
Right. So we've got to fix that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which, oh, yeah. We didn't even mention a food tube yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I had a food tube put in because I couldn't eat. And I only had to use it for 4 days.
Well, they were feeding you with it in the hospital.
Yeah.
Like you were eating, you weren't eating food.
No. No. I was sleeping.
You were sleeping. But you got the heart is still the last thing to fix.
Yeah. It turns out the blood clot was going to go to my lungs. Like that's where it was headed. But it turns out, neither me nor my family knew this, I have a hole in my heart. And it went through that hole and got redirected to my brain, which is how the strokes happen. Next month, I am going to be getting heart surgery. It's not open heart surgery. It's really not a big deal. I think it might even be outpatient.
It's like a catheter thing they put down.
Yeah, it goes through the groin. Yeah. But like, it's either outpatient or like they keep you one night, and it's really not that big a deal. You know, as soon as you say heart surgery, people are like, holy crap. Mm-hmm. But no, it's nothing like that.
But you know, like, you know, when we were kids, I didn't really play sports. I know you probably like played basketball outside with a hoop sometimes somewhere, but like, did you play sports?
I was on in middle school, I was on the basketball team.
Okay. Well, nowadays they want the kids to have an EKG or an EEG as a preparation part of their physical, because they're finding that there are so many kids that have heart defects that, you know, you could just like collapse on the court one day because mm-hmm. your heart has a problem, but you didn't know that because how would you know that?
Yeah, that happened to an NBA player, but I don't remember who it was.
It's happened to a lot of people, and like, it's actually saved people from bad situations because they were able to get that addressed before it caused them problems suddenly, yeah. Which I think is proactive and helpful. And,
absolutely.
I don't want anybody to have a stroke if they can avoid it, but it just seems like the more people that hear about your strokes, it's kind of coming out of the woodwork that we have friends that all, like, there's not all friends, but we have friends that have had strokes, and they're not old people, like, they're our age.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is kind of scary.
Yeah.
But I was just afraid for, we didn't know how you would wake up when you would come back after your strokes. Like, they knew, they did an MRI, they had a record that said that you didn't have a stroke when you entered the hospital.
Okay.
Because that was my question, and I was just like,
I did not know that.
Do we know that it happened here? And they were like, yes, we could see that he did not have this activity before, but now it's showing a sign of that.
I saw my brain scan too, and you could see where the strokes, because like it's a permanent mark on your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed it to me, and it was just four dark spots. Mm. It was interesting. Mm. It was more interesting than scary. I think it should have been a little scary, but mm-hmm. it wasn't, because I was looking at my own brain. Like, that's so cool.
I think it'd be scary if you couldn't realize what you were looking at.
Yeah.
Or if you didn't remember what you were just looking at, or, you know, if you had memory, but I guess your things were at the right part of the brain mm-hmm. for it to happen.
Yeah.
But that was that was probably the scariest part for me, was just not knowing how you would come back.
Yeah.
And it was tough. Like, your body is really, really strong. And even though you were getting weak, your body wants to live. Like, it was...
Yeah.
You were...
Self-preservation is number one in your body's mind.
Yeah. And your body was really doing that. So it wasn't your time. But we didn't know that until we knew that.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to have a forward-facing thing that was telling people, like, this is going on,
mm-hmm.
it's serious, but I didn't want anybody to panic. Everybody wanted to visit you, and they should definitely make a point to reach out and hang out with you, because mm-hmm. You have so many good friends that love you, and I know that we've tried to catch you up to everything that you've missed out on, but, yeah, it was just wild, and I didn't want anybody to think that it was, like, really serious, but it was.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not gonna skip ahead to this, but I just do have to say, when I was in the rehab, I felt like I was in an episode of Cribs.
Well, the rehab part looked like kind of fun, actually.
It looked like a hotel room, and like I could see downtown Orlando. And keep in mind too, this was Winter Park Hospital, but I was on the fifth floor, and I could see from very, very far away. I could see downtown Orlando. That was cool. But we go back. When did I get mittens?
Okay, very early on.
Yeah.
Very early, yeah. Basically, when your dialysis thing went in, because you were trying to rip out the things. Mm-hmm. And if they put mittens on, they look like punching gloves, but they're white cloth. It's like a straitjacket version of a...
It's a Mickey Mouse boxing glove.
Basically. That's a good way to put it. I think any nurses listening to this are going to be like, damn. but yeah, so... That was when you were moved to ICU. ICU were there for 2 weeks, I want to say.
I think so, about that.
2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks. As long as I was in a coma, I was in the ICU, right? They wouldn't have sent me to the progressive unit while I was still in a coma.
When they were trying to bring you out.
Yeah.
Of that. Like, you were reading the E. coli, but you weren't over it yet. But you were able to, like, we were trying to get you to open your eyes. We were trying to get you to squeeze our hands. And... You would hear us. We couldn't understand you. Your poor vocal cords were so tired. You couldn't swallow on your own. You wanted water, but they couldn't. It was a whole thing. But when you would squeeze my hand, I would say, okay, can you squeeze my hand? And you couldn't do it. I said, we'll try again tomorrow. It's okay. And one of the things that broke my heart was you, when you were finally coming to, you were just laying there and you're like, what? I don't want to. You were whispering because that's all you could do. And you were just, I could know it was unintelligible, is that the word?
Yep.
Okay. I was trying so hard. I was like, I wish I knew what your mind was saying, because I can't read your mind, but especially in that status. But you were like, you said, what happened? Did I do this to myself? What happened? Did I do this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, sweetheart. You're doing so great. You didn't do this. It's just a thing that happened. We'll tell you about it later, but...
We'll talk about it over breakfast.
I always knew that once you understood what was happening, that you would stop the panic.
I'd calm down, yeah. And my sister was telling me that, like, I'd go into like semi-consciousness at times and just start screaming.
I wasn't around for all of that.
Yeah. And she said, you know, when she said it was, you know, really scary or whatever, but she said the funniest part was that my mom hates curse words. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, she really doesn't like him.
No,
and she would even hate you saying hate.
Yeah, and so it turns out I was screaming nothing but obscenities over and over again.
God damn it!
Yeah, that was one of them. My sister said she goes, ironically, you screamed curse words the most when mom was there.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
I was like, maybe that's a subconscious thing. I knew I could get away with it.
Mm-hmm. So that's funny.
But again, even in those times, I had no idea what was going on. And then, yeah, I just... one of the times that I woke up was when I was trying, I didn't even think about hitting there. No, I did. I was searching for the nurse button because it's on a remote control. It's wired. So it could have fallen over the side of the bed and I'd have to, you know, rope it back up or whatever.
That thing always falls.
Yeah, it does.
Anybody that's ever been in the hospital knows what we're talking about.
Yeah. And I remember screaming this, and it was super funny. Because I was dead serious and later thought it was funny because I couldn't find the nurse button. And so I screamed out, oh God, I'm pooping.
Can we name that? No. Oh God, I'm pooping.
What have I done?
What have you done? Man, when they brought you out of ICU, they put you in the progressive care unit, and that's where you got the most care. Like, really, yeah. That was, they were constantly checking in. It was always a team of nurses. It would seem like every 4 minutes there would be somebody in the room. Mm-hmm. But that's, they had to put you in a room that had a baby monitor in it, because like you, despite the fact that you thought you just woke up after a nap, You had been laying there for almost 3 weeks, and your body starts to, your muscles start to like deteriorate a bit. Like you can't,
they atrophy a bit. Atrophy, yeah.
Then you didn't quite put all that together,
which made my other leg look even fatter, because my other one got skinny.
But you weren't able to get out of bed and walk around, because you would try to, and that's when it became like, we got to put him in a room with the baby monitor right next to the nurse's station. So you needed heavy amounts of supervision. But then it started getting to that next place where you could get to the point where you could say, you're saying more, you were conscious more, but it was a hard period of time for you. I know you don't remember a lot from that, but
almost nothing.
You were restless. You were like awake. You were just looking around. It looked torturous, really. You were just sitting there, unable to do anything or move. But then they started getting you more into the physical therapy, mm-hmm. helping you use a walker, learning how to use a walker. And you are just like, you're so good at getting better that you were just like, all right, I got a walker. And you were like, just thinking that you knew exactly how to do it and that your body was right there with it. But every day you got a little better.
Yeah. And I remember at first I would literally pick up the walker and just walk like it was in the air.
Yeah. Well, walkers are kind of weird.
They are. There's resistance there.
Yeah. And there's a way to use them. And it was kind of neat to watch them teach you how to use it, because I really didn't know Walker 101.
Yeah, and the only thing that was disappointing about the walker, it didn't have tennis balls. Mm. Yeah.
Well, maybe if it was your walker.
Yeah, I would totally have tennis. I'd have 4 tennis balls.
Okay.
All the elderly people would be really jealous. I'd be like, I got more balls than you. But yeah, so I don't remember much from the progressive unit at all.
That's how you're going to get hit in the head with a cane. Not by me, just by somebody you piss off with all your tennis balls.
Yeah, I got all my strength back. I'm about to be discharged. I'm gonna really lay it on you.
But you're typing, you're unable to hold things, and you were frustrated. You did it as good as you could, though.
Oh, yeah, I dropped my iPad a lot.
I got you, like, that OtterBox case for it, which I thought was wise.
I still keep forgetting where that comes from.
I wasn't going to let you have it in there without it, and apparently it was a good idea.
Oh, I would have destroyed it.
I can't believe that it worked so well. Like, I'm proud of it, because, I mean, anytime you drop an iPad, it's just like...
Yeah, and I didn't even... It was just like, my iPad, I can't...
Nurse, I'm not pooping, but...
I need my iPad. I knew where the button was then.
But, you know, it became obvious that you never can take lithium again.
Yeah. Yeah, I can never take it again. And, you know, my sister was on lithium. She started to get off it. She's, I think, completely off it now.
There's a girl that's on my show later today that is not probably when this is going to be released, but that doesn't matter. Her mom was taking lithium. And through this story, her mom talked to her doctor, and she's... like they weaned her off of it, and they're not putting her on that anymore.
Yeah.
So there's several people that have made that choice for themselves. And for me, it would have made more sense for me if you did have COVID.
Yeah.
Because that would have answered that question for me.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you did it. Didn't have COVID, but like at the same time, your body reacted the same way somebody that had COVID and lithium toxicity would have had.
Yeah. And I just... Excuse me. And I just learned this 2 days ago. My sister was telling me that she didn't even know this at the time. The doctor kind of took my parents to the side or whatever, and maybe even in another room. I don't mm-hmm. know. And they said that they seriously needed to start to considering either long-term care or end of life.
It was really scary.
Yeah.
That was the moment that I had a bit of a breakdown, like the Friday, I forget the date, but I did a show in Melbourne and I came back that night and I was just like, I got on the internet really, and I just started kind of like reading things and going through like WebMD stuff and...
Oh God, you have cancer.
And that's when I just kind of did some bartering with the Lord. I was just like, it was real. Mm-hmm. and I didn't want to lose you, and I didn't know how it was going to turn out. It was very... But I think that the doctors have to have those conversations with mm-hmm. people just to keep them checked in reality.
Yeah.
I think that it's serious enough that anything could go wrong.
Yeah, the doctors did not know. They were not very confident that I would actually come out of the coma.
They were calling you what? Do you remember what they were calling you?
Miracle Boy. Which, you know, I would have preferred Wonder Boy. Just because of Tenacious D.
Okay. Well, you got Miracle Boy.
I got Miracle Boy. Yeah, because I recovered fast enough that, I was in the coma for 2.5 weeks. Then I went to progressive care. I don't remember how long I was in there. I remember rehab very well.
I want to say it was like 2 weeks in there.
Okay.
Because I saw you in there, and then it was a Monday, I went and I saw you, and I took your dad, your dad and I were there, and then the next day, it was a Tuesday, and I was supposed to give your dad a ride, but then I just started feeling like tired on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I was supposed to give your dad a ride. I took a COVID test on Tuesday, just because I'd never had COVID, but I just felt like completely drained, but I had seen you on Monday.
Uh-huh.
And Tuesday, I was just knocked down. Wednesday, I took a COVID test, and it was positive. And I was just like, I could never forgive myself if I gave you COVID.
Yeah.
Especially at that stage of your recovery. So,
back
thank
to
you.
The ICU.
So, thank you, little baby Jesus.
Oh, baby Jesus. With your tiny little hands.
Your sister and I had COVID, and we were at the house, and we were by ourselves, and your parents got tested. Thankfully, they did not end up having COVID, and they were able to spend time with you and be with you in that time, and that was really important because it was so crucial that they didn't have to sedate you more than you needed to.
Yeah.
I think that was part of your recovery, that you needed to be less sedated, but if they weren't there... You were putting up a little more trouble.
Yeah.
I think you were just, doing the best you could, but...
Yeah, the way they put it in the rehab ward, they said, I was like, I can move around. Because, okay, so let's say we get to the rehab part. They had an alarm on the bed.
Mm-hmm. Well... You didn't know about that the first night that you got checked in, because you were able to walk around.
Yeah. It was hard. It was really hard. It hurt to walk. But yeah, and I'd get out of bed and all of a sudden this alarm would go off. It's like a car alarm. Like, it's loud, you know. And, you know, the nurse comes in. She's like, you can't get out of bed. And I was like, obviously. You know. And I go, I just need to go to the bathroom. She's like, use the nurse's button. And I'm like, can you show me that again? Because I was still,
like,
you know.
I've just been shit in bed before. It's a little different up here.
If you don't come up here immediately, I'm going to start pushing.
Oh, God, I'm pooping.
Yeah. So, and I was like, it got to the point where I could walk fine. And I was going, you know, can you just turn the alarm off? Because really, the alarm's on 24 hours a day. Well, except for if since it's rehab, if I were going for like... physical therapy or something like that, or there's some reason that I was leaving the room for a specific purpose, then they would turn it off.
Mm.
But otherwise, when I'm in my room, I can't leave the bed, and it was really annoying.
I mean, it's for your own bed, but you know.
Yeah, but it was also really annoying because I felt like I was acting overly entitled, even though I wasn't, because. I would have to, like, something that I needed would be on on that desk, 6 feet away from my bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to call a nurse, and she'd come in, she'd be like, hey, what do you need? I'd be like, can you hand that to me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is so asshole. It's not, because the situation...
You just feel like you're capable of doing it yourself.
Yes, it just felt like it. Like, you know, like, come here, get that for
me. Tie my shoe.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, so I was like, why am I not able to do that? And she goes, because you've been labeled spontaneous. She's like, we just don't trust what you'll do.
You've been labeled spontaneous. That's great.
Yeah.
It's so true. I want to go back to progressive care for a minute. Yeah. So progressive care is when you started getting to the point where you could hold your phone, you could hold your iPad, you could take a picture of your stomach tube with your hand, because like, even though it sounds like that's simple, when your hand muscles and stuff and you're trying to hold a phone to take a picture, like, it was frustrating for you in a lot of ways, but you were able to communicate a little bit more with me on the phone. Like, you would text me or you would call me and like, you would send texts, and I was just like, okay, I think I know. He would just like put a bunch of things in, and apparently it took you an hour and a half to do that. Just,
yeah.
But it was kind of cool because you would be able to call me, and I would be able to call you, and we'd be able to talk to each other a little bit more. Even especially when I had COVID, it was still nice to communicate with you.
Yeah.
But there was one night that this was probably one of the final nights that you were, and it was the last week in progressive. You were like, I was just trying to masturbate. And the nurse Kyle came in and realized what was happening, I think. And he talked to me for like 5 extra minutes about Michigan. Have you ever been to Michigan?
No. But he was telling me, he was like,
Lord.
I'm from Michigan, and we have da-da-da. I did remember that I did mention to him, I go, I know Bell's Brewery is there.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
I was just like, these nurses, they have so many stories. And they're compassionate people. I mean, it's human nature to do that, you know?
Yeah, well, not only that, but you need that.
Yeah.
You need people talking to you.
You also probably need to masturbate after. It's been a very long time.
Yeah, it's ironic that Michigan is the shape of a hand.
Good one, Etchy. Good one.
Thank you. I'm coming back.
But they had a camera in all of your rooms. So.
Which I thought they were... Okay, so I thought that camera was constantly on a screen, you know, like multiple screens where people could see all the rooms and stuff.
Like a security camera kind of thing?
Right. And it turns out that was not the case. This freaked me out because I thought I was seeing things. Mm-hmm. This was one of the last days that I was in the hospital at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking towards my bed, and then all of a sudden I saw a flash of green. And I wasn't even looking at the camera, and green just filled my eyes. It was a wall of green. I could not see anything else.
That's strange.
And then the green started to fade away.
Did you tell your doctor about that?
No, because what it was then once the green went away, I looked up at the camera, and the camera, it was a lot like what...
It was like night vision or something?
Yeah. Then I could see the three red dots, and for some reason, they were looking into my room.
Mm.
I don't know why, nor did I really care. I was dressed. I wasn't doing anything. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But that did lead me to believe that that's the only time that they use it. You know what I mean? So, like, otherwise that camera is not on.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was on all the time and stuck in your file.
Yeah. And actually, here's the thing, too, is that, I could tell... The reason that the green was so powerful is because it allows the infrared to see longer.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, if you just have like a small green light or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and it turns on for, say, it flashes, you know, the infrared pickup is going to be less than a second. So it has to be super strong, so that the infrared can see for a longer period of time. But they should tell you that, because I thought something seriously was wrong with me. Until I looked up at the camera.
Unsettling.
Yeah, then I looked up at the camera and I saw the red, and I was like, oh, okay, that's what's going on.
Especially with all the variations of your meds, yeah, I could see it would be very, concerning.
I immediately thought it was my brain, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
Especially... with all the things you'd been going through. But those were the nicest nurses, I think. Like, as far as, like... All of them were nice, but they were, like, very energetic and personable, and like that seemed like a really healthy place to be.
Yeah.
Of all places in the hospital, like they would let me. You wanted me to bring you a pepperoni pizza or a cheese pizza, and I wanted pepperoni. But I was like, can you please double check that I'm okay to bring a large pizza to your hospital room, because this feels weird.
Yeah, and once that happened, man, you guys brought McDonald's and all sorts of stuff. It was great.
We had to start cutting you off on that.
And I learned that I love Ensure,
mm-hmm.
which I told one of the nurses that I was like, I really like Ensure.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to two nurses, and they both just like paused. Like, they were just still for a moment.
Like, nobody likes Ensure.
Yeah, and she goes, one of them goes, are you being sarcastic? I go, no, I really do like it. She's like, well, you would be the first. And since then, I've been guzzling them.
Yeah, it's a good thing for you to have.
Yeah.
But you would eat the hospital spaghetti, but that's the only thing I really saw you eat.
There was more that I ate, but none of it would be a surprise. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you know what? I don't even remember. But there was always something in the dinner. And you could request whatever you wanted that they had.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, I could have had spaghetti every night if I wanted to.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, they, you know, it was good to get you out of the hospital. But it was also a big effort for us to learn how to help you recover through all of this. Because your body's gotten so much stronger. You've really dealt with all of this way better than I think I would, or most people would.
Yeah. One of the times that they were like, hey, do you want to get out? Like, let's
you can go outside.
You can go outside, yeah. And there's a garden and everything, and you can walk through and everything. And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, that sounds great. I would love to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And we got in the elevator, and apparently when the doors opened, one of the people, it was a woman, it was a nurse, and she was getting in the elevator, and I was getting out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she goes, oh my God, and like put her hand on her mouth, and I was like, hi.
You it's know? A little like, what, is there something on me?
Yeah.
Is my ear hanging off?
She was one of the ICU nurses.
Okay.
And she's like, first of all, I didn't think you were going to make it. And second of all, I thought you'd be, you know, you wouldn't be this far along. This is incredible.
Mm.
And I was like, well, the door's closing. So, no, you know, so that left a huge impression with me.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those people worked really hard to keep you alive and get you out of those infections out.
Yeah.
Like, that was major.
Like, which has to be kind of hard.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm glad I'm glad you made it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, when you came home, like, we've had to learn how to, you know, if you were to fall or cut yourself or something like that, it could cause you more damage.
Yeah, I'm on blood thinners now.
Yeah, I want you to wear, like, a helmet and knee pads and shoulder pads. Just in case you fell or something.
And elbow pads.
Elbow pads for sure.
Yeah. And I could just...
Not shoulder pads.
Convince people that I'm going vert skating.
They probably believe you.
Probably.
But yeah, if something... you know, that could be dangerous. But that's just all part of the process. And I kept telling everybody, it's a long process with lots of pieces. And I kept saying that. And I think people wanted an immediate, like, he's gonna be okay for me.
Yeah.
And I couldn't.
You can't. No. Which is hard, because you want to just be like, oh, he's going to be fine.
And I also wanted you to be able to tell your story, too. Like, you know, I didn't want to tell everybody everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And the disappointing part, I think, for a lot of people was everybody and me. Like, so many people, when I saw them for the first time when I got out of the hospital, they're like, I just have to ask, I know you were in a coma. Like, what did you see?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I had a 30-minute dream and then I woke up. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
You didn't see the light or anything?
No. I was like, there's no light. I literally was dreaming about Ken Kardatsky.
Oh, God. Can you please tell that?
Yeah. So, while I was in a coma, I'm sure, you know, You know how, like, you could probably dream about multiple things, but when you wake up, you only remember one of them, really, you know? Because you dream so fast. Mm-hmm. It's at the speed of thought, basically. So, so, because I knew I was in a hospital, I didn't know much else, you know, because of my condition and everything, but I was, in my dream, I was wheeled into the back of this huge kitchen, like really nice stainless steel everything, you know, and you know in your dreams where you realize something but there's no evidence, somehow you just know something, you know, for some reason I was thinking like this is a huge like Disney kitchen.
Oh, I was picturing the Shining.
No, but I mean everything was sterile, you know, and then I saw Ken Kardatsky with you know, he had a mask on, but I still recognized him, you know, and he's like, yeah, just wheel him in over here. And I was like, what?
And he does, like, tech work. He's not a kitchen guy.
Yeah, he's an IT guy. And, you know, I was like, am I getting a baked Alaska? What's going on?
Oh, my God. We'll get to that.
I don't even know what a baked Alaska is. But then, like, you know, I saw my eyes, like, closing in the dream, and I was trying to keep awake to see what Ken had to say, and I just heard him say, he's gonna love this. And so the way it went was apparently Ken had gone to Tiffany's and bought a sterling silver Daffy Duck butt plug. And
because Disney really partnered with Tiffany's
for a butt plug.
For butt plugs. Character butt plugs. Get them while you can.
And he, not only this, it wasn't a doctor, it was Ken. Ken permanently implanted this butt plug, this Daffy Duck sterling silver Tiffany's butt plug in my butt. And, the funniest thing was one of the times that I woke up semi-conscious, I clearly remember grabbing my butt because I thought it was there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just wow. Do you know that ducks have, like, corkscrew dicks? And yeah. And I'm glad that wasn't a part of the character. Like,
I mean, considering it's a butt plug, it should have just because... why not go for disgusting realism if you're already making a butt plug?
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
So, yeah. So, the first opportunity I got when I got home, I think it was the first or second day I was home, I immediately called Ken. And I was like, Ken, he's like, oh, you're feeling better. I'm like, yeah, fuck that. I need to tell you this.
Yeah, he and everyone was worried about you. Everybody... You know, you have so many good friends, and we have so many people that care about us, and people were caring about me because it was hard on my end. People cared about you. It was a lot. Well, and I tried to keep up with it. You know, I haven't been, like, on social media, but I was, like, forced to because people were wanting me to tell them what was going on, and I would do that every so often. But people were just really, really... kind to me.
Making sure you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I gotta say, I really do believe, I think I got the good end of the deal.
I don't know.
Because I cannot imagine if it was you or my dad or my mom or my sister that was in a coma and for 2.5 weeks, you don't know if you'll ever talk to me again.
Right.
I can't imagine. I think that hurts more than anything I went through.
Yeah, when you started, like, squeezing hands when we asked you to, like, there was a day that it took a little bit longer, but you would do it. Like, I would say, hey, squeeze my hand, and then, like, a minute would go by, and then you would squeeze my hand.
Yeah.
So it got faster. That's when everything started to feel a little bit, like...
Oh, and I opened my eye for you.
You did. That was, like... I'd never been so excited about somebody opening their eye for me. Well, you want to take a quick break? Because I have to pee.
Okay.
And move my shoulder a little bit.
All right, we'll be right back.
Oh, God, I'm pooping!
There are so many missed details in this entire thing. But we did the best we could, and we tried to stay within the restraints, which we pretty much did. This is about an hour. It's a little over. But, you know, thank you for listening very much, and we should be back definitely sooner than the amount of time that passed by last time.
All nurses to the nurses' station.
Outro.
A PFT Media production.